sinners, poor remaining, come ye who did radiant hold. There's a harbor for the broken, where the hopeless are reborn.
Come ye lost, afraid, forgotten, let your wandering souls find rest, and your heart's door he is knocking, for you his precious blood was shed. He is
Amen. Thank you.
Translated, believe. And in this chapter, that word referring to faith or belief is used 16 times. And so this whole chapter talks about our faith, our believing in God, even as Abraham believed God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, of course, was one of those listed in that great hall of faith because of his faith in God. And God wants us to have faith in him, faith that gives us everlasting life. And also he wants us to have faith in him in making decisions each day in our lives to trust God. And that's what we're going to see from Abraham. Not only did he believe in God for his eternal salvation, but he believed in God when God told him, you know, to go and do this and that. He trusted God. And so as we look at Abraham's faith this morning, we're going to see, I think we have that. It's not there? It's not a PowerPoint slide. Oh, boy. I don't know what I did on that. I must have saved it as one of the newer editions of the PowerPoint. Okay, you're going to have to do it without the visual this morning there. We're going to look at Abraham's faith was well-pleasing, and then Abraham's faith was well-placed, and Abraham's faith was well-preserved there. It worked on my computer in the office, so I guess a little difference here. There. First of all, Abraham's faith was well-placed. His faith was in a covenant-keeping God. In Genesis 17:4, he says, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And so Abraham at one time thought maybe God was going to do this through Ishmael, but God said, no, Isaac is the son of the covenant there. And so God was Abraham's God. And Abraham had placed his faith in a covenant-keeping God. And as we look at the direction of his faith, and that's in verse 17, the first thing is the direction of his faith. It says, "I have made thee a father of many nations." Notice it says, "I have made thee a father." He didn't say, "I will make thee a father." God had already done it. In our minds, in our lives, we have, you know, tenses, past, present, and future. But in God's mind, you know, everything is, he's not limited to time there. And so here he says, "Abraham, I have already done this." And whenever God states something that he is going to do it or he has done it, it's as good as done. And one of the verses I wanted to show up here for you is from Romans 8, 29 and 30. Now, you're very familiar with Romans 8, 28, for all things work together for good to those who love God. But the very next two verses, listen to what they say. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That was verse 29. And notice in verse 30, the past tense of what God says he had already done for us, just as he had for Abraham. It says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And so in God's mind, since he is not limited to time, we're already glorified. And I've shared with you before how I grew up in a denomination believing that you could lose your salvation. And it was actually in Greek class one day that I had been studying and I'm trying to decide which way to go. And those two verses that I just read were really the deciding point in my life when I realized that in God's mind, I'm already glorified. And so if I could lose my salvation, I would also have to lose my predestination. I would have to lose my calling. I would have to lose my justification. And I would have to lose my glorification. Because God's already done all that. And I would have to lose it all there. And so Abraham is placing his faith in a God who, when he states something, it's accomplished. So the object of our faith is so important. And God is faithful, and we can trust Him. Well, not only the direction of His faith, but the duration of His faith. In verse 17, it says, "Those things which be not as they were." God had made this promise to Abraham when he was 75 years old. And then it was confirmed to him later when he was 99. And so the duration of Abraham's faith for another 24 years there, and God is looking for people with long-term faith, isn't he? He doesn't want us just to trust him when the things are going well, but he wants us to trust him at all times. A song says, "Through it all, I've learned to trust in God." Maybe you've heard that song. And so I've learned to trust. It's another word for faith. And through it all, I've learned to trust in God. And Abraham, he went through a lot. And through all of that, he also learned to trust in God. So we've seen the direction of his faith, the duration of his faith, and now the determination of his faith. In verse 18, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope." In other words, he refused to listen to reason there. He believed against hope. You know, when people would try to reason with him and say, "Well, you know, having this child with Sarah didn't work with you with younger, and so why is it going to work now? I mean, she's old. Physically, it's impossible." And they start to reason, and Abraham's faith was above reason. And that's what faith is, isn't it? It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond what we can see with our physical eyes or even our spiritual eyes. We trust God. If God says it, He is faithful. And if He says it, it is as good as done, because He is not limited to time, as we saw earlier. So the determination of his faith, he refused to listen to reason, but also he refused to listen to reality. In verse 19, it talks about the deadness of Sarah's womb there. Reality. You know, sometimes people say, "Well, this person's an optimist. This person's a pessimist. I'm a realist." You know, and so that's, you look at this verse, and it's not so much that he was being optimistic or pessimistic, but people would try to say, "Now be real. You need to be realistic in this." The circumstances there were very bleak. The promise was not just for one child that he was going to give Abraham and Sarah, but he says, "I'm going to give you children through Isaac as the sands of the sea, as the stars of heaven," there. And so it tells us in verse 19, "And being not weak in faith." And here's the promise of a child that's coming. In their old age, can you imagine the excitement that they must have had that they were going to have this child? We know how exciting it is to be having a baby, and the first one coming, and you know, where you're choosing the names, and you know, you're decorating the nursery. You know, I've seen pictures of your nursery on Facebook there for Kelsey and TJ there. It must have been really exciting for them. And in time, after the promise, when Sarah began to be with child and show, they said, "Wow, this thing is really happening. We trusted God and He's doing it." And we shouldn't be surprised that God is doing what He said He would do. But sometimes we are, aren't we? You know, and God does that. And so he was determined in his faith. He refused to listen to reason. He refused to look at reality. Do you think he ever doubted? Well, Abraham did doubt at times, didn't he? I'm glad he did. Because if I were to look at Abraham and his faith and I didn't see any flaws in his character at all, I would say, I can't live up to that. But God chose for us to tell us in Genesis 17, when God told Abraham that he and Sarah were going to have a child, remember what Abraham did? He laughed there. And that was his doubt. And that's what the name in Hebrew, Isaac, means, laughter there. And so, and then he says, "Well, God, I have Ishmael here." And God said, "I'm going to bless Ishmael, but Isaac is the child of the covenant there. And so though reality didn't look so good, but yet he was looking to a God in faith there. Not only did he refuse to listen to reason, he refused to look at reality, he refused to lose the reward. It tells us in verse 20 that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Whenever we doubt God and we start staggering at the promises of God, we're not trusting. You can't trust and doubt at the same time. And he was not weak in his faith. He didn't stagger. The word stagger means to divide or separate and judge. So when it says that Abraham didn't stagger in faith, he didn't choose the promises of God and say, yeah, I believe this one, but I'm not so sure about this one. I don't think that can happen. You know, he didn't stagger at any of the promises of God. If God said it, he wasn't weak in his faith, and he was going to claim it there. And though he had doubted, God began to show him, you don't need to doubt me, Abraham. You can trust me. And Abraham learned that as well. And so when God told him later to go into the Ur of the Chaldees, and I'll tell you where to go, just go. He did. He learned that he could trust God. When God said to him there, I want you to be circumcised, Abraham the same day went and he was circumcised. We saw last week that he wasn't saved because he was circumcised, but that was an outward sign of the faith that he had in God. When God told him later to take his son Isaac, that miracle child, and take him and sacrifice him, and Abraham was saying, well, God, you said you're going to raise up a multitude through him, and if I sacrifice him, that can't happen. So if I sacrifice him, you must be going to raise him back to the dead because you're God of your word and you said you were going to do it and you're going to do it somehow. And so he obeyed God. He learned. So maybe there were some times in our lives where we doubted God. He proved himself faithful so that we don't have to doubt him anymore. We can trust him to do what he says he will do. In Hebrews 10:35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And whenever we put our faith and trust in God, as Abraham did, God rewards our faith in him. Hebrews 11:26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Speaking of Moses there, the reward was there for his faith. Revelation 22:12. Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man as his work shall be. And the work that we have is a direct result of the faith we have. Because Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God, and so therefore he was circumcised. He believed God, therefore he went to offer Isaac. And whenever we trust God, he rewards our faith in him there. So we see in Abraham's faith was well placed. Abraham's faith was also well pleasing. It was pleasing to himself. It was pleasing to God. Verse 21, it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform there. Have you heard the song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine? Every chapter, every verse, every line. It is. Every promise in the Word of God is ours. God has promised it. And we can claim it, even as Abraham claimed it as well. Because God's reputation is based on keeping his promises. If God doesn't keep one promise that he made, that he's not dependable. But he is dependable. He is faithful. And here it says that Abraham was fully persuaded. You know, some people will never be persuaded. We see that in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember when rich man died and Lazarus, and the rich man says, send Lazarus that he could go to my brothers and tell them so they won't have to come to this place of torment. And in Luke 16:31, it says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And there is one that has risen from the dead. And yet some people today still are not fully persuaded as Abraham was. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was going to do, that God would do it. Well, some people are adversely persuaded. Remember whenever Jesus was going to be crucified and Barabbas was to be released, the chief priest and Pharisees, or chief priest and elder, excuse me, it says in Matthew 27:20, that they persuaded the multitude to ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And so God wants us to be fully persuaded that what God has said he's able to do, he will do there. King Agrippa was almost persuaded when Paul came to him. King Agrippa said to Paul in Acts 26:28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But God doesn't want us to be almost persuaded. He certainly doesn't want us to be adversely persuaded. He wants us to be as Abraham, who it says here that he was fully persuaded. In Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith, it says this in Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's what God wants from us, a faith that is fully persuaded that what God has said he would do, he certainly will do. And it says that these people of faith, they embraced those promises of God. And when God makes a promise to us, he will keep that promise. We serve a God that is trustworthy. We can depend on him for every need we have. Abraham was fully persuaded. He was pleased with God's promises. In verse 21 and 22, we see that he was not only pleased with God's promise, he was pleased with God's performance. It says in verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness there. Therefore, because of his faith, he was going to be righteous. And that's how we are made righteous. It's through faith. It's not by works that we are righteous, but it's through faith. And Abraham was pleased with God's performance and what he was going to do. In Hebrews, once again, chapter 11, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And verse 19 says, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. And so here he believed that somehow God was going to perform what he said he would do. He didn't fully understand it. Aren't you glad that God doesn't call us to understand it all? He just calls us to trust him. And so we see that next. We've seen that he was pleased with God's promise. He was pleased with God's performance. And he was pleased with God's plan. God's plan in verse 22 is to impute righteousness there. And so God does that to everyone who places faith in him. He takes the righteousness of Christ and he puts it on our account. And we are accounted as righteous before God. And Abraham was pleased with that plan. We sing a hymn, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed, but I trust the everlasting one. It's in Christ. I need no other argument. I need no other plea there. Our faith is in Christ. And God doesn't tell us to understand everything, but he tells us to trust him there. And that's what Abraham did. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as we think about Abraham being pleased with God's performance and being pleased with God's plan. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said to the king, they said, "Our God will deliver us." They had faith. And they were pleased with God's performance. God's able to perform this. God's able to keep us from burning in the fire. But they were also pleased with his plan, because you remember what they said after that. "But if not, even if his plan is not to deliver us, we're not going to bow down there." And Abraham was pleased with God's promise and with God's performance and with God's plan. And Jeremiah tells us that God has a plan for us, even as he did Israel. And his plans for us are plans for good, not plans for evil. We can trust God. Everything he does for us is for our good. Then we come to the last thing, and we see not only was Abraham's faith well-placed and it was well-pleasing, it was well-preserved. In verse 23, it says, "It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also." I circled those words. Don't you like those words? "But it was for us also." The promise of imputed righteousness was not just to Abraham. It was for us also. And so his faith was well preserved as a people of God. God has a people that he's chosen for himself. Some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, some that will be saved during the tribulation. God has a people. And he is putting together that people of his, and Abraham's faith is preserved there. For there's a people, but not just a preserved as a people, but notice the person of faith, as we said a moment ago. In verse 24, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe." There's that word, pistis or pisteo, faith. If we have faith. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. There. And so it is preserved by a person. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord, verse 24. And our faith has found a resting place. It's not in device nor creed. It is in Jesus, our Lord. That's where Abraham's faith was. That's what it tells us here in Romans. That even though he hadn't seen Jesus in the flesh, he was looking forward to that by faith. And he trusted God for what God said he would do, God would do, and God did do as well. And then it tells us in verse 25, as we get to the end of the chapter, that this person, Jesus Christ our Savior, there are three things he does. First of all, he was delivered for our offenses there. And so all of our sins that we had done, we should have been delivered up to be judged and crucified. But he was delivered up for our offenses. And then it says, and he was raised for our justification. And so he was delivered, he died for our sins, he rose again for our justification, and then chapter 5, which we'll get to next week, but we'll look at verse 1 of it briefly, because it says, therefore. And he's tying this to Christ being delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that's how we have peace with God. We trust him. We trust him through all the circumstances. Our faith is in a God who keeps his word, and he gives us the peace of God. He gives us peace with God. We can trust him. Abraham trusted God, and God met his needs, and we can trust God as well. And no matter what circumstances you may be going through, no matter what seems to be so bleak, it's not just a matter of being optimistic, but or even being realistic, but trusting God. He's in control. He will handle this. He did for Abraham, and He is the same God today that He was for Abraham. And whenever we put our faith in our omnipotent God, He is pleased. He wants to show Himself mighty on our behalf. He did to Abraham, and Abraham at one time had doubted, but then he saw God working. And he said, I don't need to doubt anymore. God's going to do what He said He would do. Aren't you glad we serve a God who is faithful? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Abraham and what You have been pleased to reveal about him. His faith, his doubt. And Lord, the Bible tells us that we are made as humans like all of these characters in the Bible that You record for us. And Lord, that we can have the same kind of faith that Abraham did and see Your mighty hand at work because we trust You. And there's great reward for those who trust You, even when we don't see how it could possibly happen, having hope against hope. And Father, I pray that You would increase our faith, even as You increased Abraham's faith. Help us to trust You, not just for our eternal salvation, but help us to trust You each day with the things that occur in our lives. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.